Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 64 on September 26, 2013. Welcome to my efforts to change the world one ass at a time. Let's see here. One of the first things that I wanted to do is back in podcast 59, there was a guy asking about positions, that missionary was something that his lady preferred quite a bit, but that the pressure on his heart was not so good for him. And he was asking if a swing from the ceiling might be more helpful. And at the time I said, yeah, you know, a swing would be awesome. But at the same time, I got another, or in addition, I should say, I got another recommendation. And this recommendation came from Tiffany at Entice Me. She has a business called Entice Me, which is lovely. And we're going to talk about that more in just in a moment, what Entice Me is. But what she suggested was the Liberator Wedge Ramp Combo. She thought that would be a very good option for him. And you know, when I dialed that up on the internet and took a look at it, I would totally have to agree. I'm going to put down a link to the Liberator site in case anybody isn't aware of this company. They make amazing sex furniture, basically. And what I mean by that is cushions and things, because as you all know, when you're in the middle of doing all kinds of fun sexual things, many times the lengths of different parts of your body don't match your partner's in the position that you wish them to connect, let me say. So what you end up doing is grabbing a couple of pillows, maybe putting it under hips or different things like that. The Liberator cushions eliminate the need for all that. And everybody I know who has one raves about it. So there is literally a specific picture of the wedge ramp combo. When I took a look at it, I totally have to agree with Tiffany. Yes, this is a great suggestion for you, sir. So, if you take a look at the photo, there is a wider wedge where the hips will go up so that she can access him better. And then the wedge at the top gives him support for his neck and head. And you'll see what I mean. I'll put the link in the linkorama, along with a link to Entice Me, which, again, we're going to talk about in just a moment. But now, if we talk about the expense, because one of the things you did mention, sir, was the expense of the swing. You know, these are not cheap things, and the expense is probably close to what a swing might run you, so you might not be saving a lot of money. But I think if I was trying to decide between the two, I would consider what else I could use it for. I'd think of things like this, you know. How are you or she with standing and fucking, as opposed to on a bed, laying down, or more comfortable, or that kind of thing? Some people really don't like standing. And if you get a swing, you can use it for different things, obviously. She can be in the swing, too. So think about the standing. And then also consider other uses for the cushions, because the cushions are pretty versatile, I must say. You know, you can separate those two. You can use them for all kinds of different positions. I checked the price on them and it said $230, but then when you look at the website, it says $50 off any order over $150 plus free shipping. So that would make it a flat $180 plus tax, and that's not a bad deal for those cushions. The other thing that Liberator sells, which is amazing, is a Liberator throw is what they call them. Now for pegging, oh my God, these are a godsend, because in pegging, you use a lot of lube. And, you know, jokes are made all the time about how you can't use too much. Well, you actually can. You can make a mess all over the place. It's not going to disturb your pegging, but it's going to make quite a mess. One of the most wonderful things to have is a good-sized throw that's waterproof that you can have your playtime on, so you really can feel free to use as much lube as you want to and not worry about where it's going to go and not worry about, okay, we have to stay over the towel, honey, move over to the right. Yeah, because these throws are good-sized. And they're waterproof. They have a waterproof layer, and they're totally washable. So think about one of those, too. Tiffany sells a number of these products through her website. So since she was the one to recommend it, and she also has some very good prices, you might want to check hers. I checked to see if she offered the ramp wedge combo. I'm sure she could get it for you, but she doesn't have it up on her website. So, but she has the throw. So I just want to make sure that, you know, give the independent business person a little business here as well, because Liberator's a pretty big company. It's no skin off their nose if you go through someone else and they get a little bit less of the profit, and I'm sure Tiffany would really appreciate it. So before we talk about Entice Me, which is Tiffany's baby, one last thing about the Liberator cushions. Basically, you know, what they're good for is sexy times and helping bridge the, oh, what I would actually call sometimes the literal gap between body shapes and lengths. I use myself as an example. The distance between my hips and my knees is extraordinarily long. I have very long legs, and that makes it a little tough sometimes getting in the right position, especially if it's, say, doggy style with a guy who has a short leg, you know, upper leg, then it makes it pretty tough to do some good doggy style. So all kinds of situations like that. And also just propping up someone for anal penetration, because that's a little bit higher. If you had a woman there and it was vaginal penetration, it would be different. It would, you know, that hole is a little higher, basically. So these cushions and the throws and everything are just wonderful things. I cannot recommend them enough. Now let's talk about Entice Me. If I had to describe it briefly, even though it's much more than this, it's like the best home party sex toy business ever. Because it's not just sex toy home parties. And probably any of you who have ever been to one of those parties, if you are an educated toy consumer at all, you know what crap they have. The passion parties and all that stuff. It's really, really awful stuff. It's toxic. It's really bad. Tiffany went to one of these parties. I talked with her about how she started her business, and she knew that it could be done better. So let me read a little bit from her website to you about who they are. It says, "We are creating a community where people can come together and talk about sex and sexuality. We share tips, techniques, and sexy secrets to improve your life both in and out of the bedroom. We believe sex is a natural, vital part of life and should no longer be considered taboo." And let me point out, too, that they don't just have home parties with sex toys and, you know, bachelorette parties and things like that. They actually have classes where it's like learn to give a blowjob and different things like that. It's pretty awesome. But then they go on to say, "We are passionate about the ingredients and materials you put in your body, so everything we offer is safe, healthy, and non-toxic." And truly, I've seen her offerings, and the toys that she offers are the highest quality and the most sophisticated toys on the market. And she does absolutely have competitive prices. They also give back and donate a portion of all their sales to Sexy Survivors, which is an organization that helps people with intimacy after experiencing traumatic events. So if there's anybody out there that's thinking of getting into the home party sex toy business, talk to Tiffany. I haven't seen a better one. I truly haven't. There are companies out there that are finally starting to offer good toys, but she is the only one I know that will not offer the bad ones and is more educated about what the bad ones are and why you don't want to use them than anyone I've ever met. So I'll leave her link as well as the Sexy Survivors link too. Okay, let's dive into our letters. "Hi, Ruby. I'm a 66-year-old straight man who is investigating pegging with my wife of many years. She is open and willing, and I have now been pegged a couple of times with less than stellar results. Maybe I'm expecting too much. I'm looking for this prostate orgasm, more intense than the normal stroking penis orgasm. We have used several approaches. Often we start out kissing and warming up with fingers. I find it interesting. However, my erection is not reliable. It usually is reliable in male-female penis and vagina sex. I may get erect, but by the time we switch positions and get inserted, I am flaccid. The missionary position is comfortable, but I do not feel a building of urgency after 10 minutes. We have tried fingers, and I have tried an Aneros massager for 30 minutes. All seem interesting, but not erection-generating or orgasmic. I should add that since my youth, I have masturbated to orgasm, stroking myself while wearing anal plugs or dildos. I would appreciate any suggestions." Okay, first of all, don't expect anal play or pegging and or pegging to be an erection generator. It really isn't. And I've said this a lot before, and I'll say it lots more times. Here's the deal with erections and peggings. Some men, it's like a button inside their ass, and you put something in there, and they're hard as a rock, and they stay hard the whole time. Some men have erections that come and go when you have something in their ass. Some men could not get an erection if their life depended on it. And all three are perfectly normal. It's just different responses to the same stimuli, and it doesn't reflect whether or not they're having a good time. So you also mention that less than stellar results. I think part of what you were expecting, it sounds like, would be the erection. So now that you know that that's not something that is necessarily part of the picture, I mean, there are a fair amount of men out there who love to get pegged, but they're not hard at all. They will never get hard during the whole time, but they still love getting pegged. So there's that. But also you kind of say that, you know, it's not real life-changing. It's not real amazing. This last sentence that you have, since your youth, you have masturbated to orgasm, stroking yourself while wearing anal plugs or dildos. So most men have not done that. So when they start having prostate stimulation and a combined prostate stimulation with penile stimulation, it is a more intense orgasm than just penile stimulation. You apparently have been doing that since you were young. So I throw it up there that it's possible that the sensation that you perceive as normal for an orgasm might indeed be perceived by a man who is not used to anal stimulation as extraordinary for the ones who are new to it. And, you know, while the hands-free orgasm, you know, you were talking about the prostate orgasm, while the hands-free orgasm, which means prostate stimulation only and no penile stimulation, while it's often held up as the holy grail of pegging, you know, my best guess is that about the same percentage of men are capable of having one as women who can attain a G-spot orgasm without clitoral stimulation, and that's around 30%. There are no figures on this course, but there are so many similarities between G-spot and prostate that I would not be surprised if it was around 30%. And one of these days, somebody will do a study. But my point is, don't expect it, and don't be really goal-oriented. And last but not least, it does take some time. Like, if you are used to masturbating while wearing the anal plugs or dildos, and now you are basically involving someone in what used to be a very solitary thing for you to do, a very solitary enjoyment, sometimes that takes a while to get used to, because if you might have kind of a groove that you've gotten yourself into, so you know how it feels and you like it just the way you like it, and all of a sudden she's pegging you and it's a little bit different. So all of these things are possible. As long as it's not unpleasant to you, what I would probably suggest is that if it's interesting and it feels okay, to just continue and see what happens. You might want to experiment with different angles, different pressures, different firmness of toys, things like that, to see if one of those is sort of like the magic bullet for you, because that's what happens a lot of times. And men come across these magic bullets a little bit by accident. Maybe they size up and get a bigger toy and they have the girth, and all of a sudden they're through the roof with pleasure, because something about that girth, putting direct pressure onto the prostate, usually is the point, sends them into lands of pleasure they hadn't considered before. On the other hand, that doesn't work for everybody. Sometimes it's the length. Sometimes it is the ridges on the dildo. There's all kinds of different things. So as long as you're having a good time, just keep playing around with it. One more thing you might want to try is vibrations, just to see what happens. I don't think it's a matter of your prostate hasn't been sort of woken up to pleasure yet, since you've been playing with the plugs and dildos for some time, but that's my suggestions. And so give those a try and get back to me. Let me know what worked, if you would. That would be awesome. And thanks for writing in. Okay, here's another letter. Good day, Ruby. I have been dreaming and fantasizing of the wife pegging me. Over the years, I have dropped hints for her, more so lately, like leaving articles open on the phone for her to read, and even emailing her some links to your fabulous page. I've even put together a sort of list of sexual things to do or have done, which she says is intimidating, and did not fill it out, but said, let's talk about it, and we have not. Did I go too far with that one? It may be just something for me to have her know what I like and have done, plus for me to want to know what she has done. I don't know. I truly enjoy anal play, and when I can, I take advantage of the time. Just wanting some insight, for it will likely remain a dream. Okay, another couple who is trying to cross that bridge of exploring new sexual territory. And as is most common, it's the man who's interested in the pegging and the woman who's not so sure about it, is what it kind of sounds like. So take care with your approach here, sir. I'm so glad that you wrote me. First of all, it's good to just sit and have a talk with her about it outside of the bedroom with an attitude of no pressure. And here's what I mean about that. I can tell how much you want, and I can hear it in your words, okay? And if you come to the conversation with that attitude of intense wanting, it's going to feel like a whole lot of pressure for her. Ideally, what would be great is if you could give her information about this new thing that you want to try. And do it directly and openly and calmly, as opposed to leaving her hints. Hints work sometimes, but direct communication is really effective. So if you can calmly and gently talk with her and tell her informational things like how the prostate is actually very, very similar to the G-spot, and it's capable of giving the same levels of pleasure to men, and that you would really like to experience that and try it out. Plus, there's the health advantages of keeping a healthy prostate and hopefully avoiding BPH, benign prostatic hyperplasia. So there's the added health benefits as well, but that you're just really interested in experiencing this with her. And then at that point in time, if you wanted to give her some links to take a look at, and places that she can go for more information, that's fine. But one of the things I think really is a good way to approach this is to say, look, it's okay if we never do this, but it's something that I'd really like to try, and so I want to give you some information about it so that you can check it out. And then let it go, and just let it go, and don't hover over her, and don't keep asking her, and that kind of stuff. You have to have a lot of patience. As far as making that list, yeah, I wouldn't say you went too far, but I would actually have to agree with her that it can be a little intimidating, and here's why. Most people are not used to talking about their sexual fantasies and sexual desires with each other. It's a sad thing, but it's true. Most couples in bed don't talk about sex, they just have it. And they don't talk about it at all until something goes wrong, or until someone reaches that point, like you have, where you really want something different and you're trying to talk to them about it. So one of the tools that's really, really good for this is Mojo Upgrade. And I've talked about this before, and I know a few of you have written in and said that you had problems getting on the website. I just checked it today. I know that it kind of goes up and down. It's up now. I wanted to check it, but first, before I recommended it one more time. It is working right now. And what Mojo Upgrade is it is something that allows you to go through a list of sexual activities and check the ones that you want to do, the ones that you might want to do, and the ones that you absolutely don't want to do. So it's yes, no, or maybe, right? And your partner does the same thing. And then what Mojo Upgrade does is it combines those two lists and shows you only the yeses and the maybes, and not the no's. Because think of it this way, that is a much less confrontational way to talk with her about doing new things. And if you just sit down and say, okay, I want to do this, that's pretty confrontational. And if you haven't talked a lot about different sexual things together already, there's probably some discomfort with just talking about it, which is why Mojo Upgrade exists. As far as your thing about it might be something for her to know what you've done and want to know what she's done. That's, be careful with that one. Sharing sexual histories can be a little touchy with people. It might be better to concentrate just on the future, you know, what she's open to, because sometimes that opens you up to stories, and stories can backfire sometimes. You know, if you know that she's had some wild sex thing that she's never done with you and she's done it with somebody else, maybe you don't want to know that. Maybe you would just like her to check the yes box in the Mojo upgrade and go, whoa, I didn't know you were okay with doing that, instead of hearing the story about how she did it with some other guy. So, yeah, don't go digging into the past would be my advice. Take it or leave it, and do the Mojo upgrade. I think that would be awesome. As far as approaching her about pegging and anal stimulation, it's really good to have communication, patience, and just give her information and see what happens. And I gotta, you know, cross my fingers for you, sir, and let us know how it goes. Here is a letter from C. Ruby, I can't begin to tell you how thrilled I was to discover your site. I was looking up erotic pegging stories and read one of yours on another site. The story was precisely what I was seeking. And as I browsed through the comments, I found a link you had posted to this site. Wow, and what a find it was. Allow me to introduce myself a bit. My name is C. I am 46 and have been married twice, currently for 9 years, to my soulmate and love of my life. I have always been a highly sexual person, enjoying the ego rush that comes from male attention, sometimes perhaps a bit more than I should. I have entertained many fantasies over the years, and I can recall looking at sex toy catalogs in my early 20s and being extremely intrigued by a strap-on dildo that was designed with a clitoral stimulator on the side that would fit nestled into my labia. Now, at the time, I only entertained lesbian fantasies, never considering pegging a man. As I developed my sexuality, my first husband and I discovered the many thrills and chills of anal sex. Back then, it was an occasional fun alternative, and I learned all the important steps of patience, lubrication, stretching, and additional stimulation. Now, with this marriage, we have had some fun developments. In the beginning, he wasn't interested in anal, declaring that he didn't do the brownie hole. That was nearly a deal-breaker for me, as this was when we were only dating. However, he soon discovered that I really had a thing for getting my ass fucked, and once he discovered my intense reactions and responses to even talking about anal play, he decided to be more open-minded. Over the last 2 or maybe even 3 years, I've developed an appetite for anal pleasure that has really taken me by storm. It started with a desire to finger my husband's ass in hopes that I could stimulate his prostate and perhaps even get him to come without any stimulation to his penis. Still working on that one. So I have spent a considerable amount of time converting my husband. It began with him being willing to allow me to play with his ass. It took some time before he started liking it. Yes, of course the feeling was pleasurable, but it wouldn't have been his first choice of sexual activities together. Now that we have both had a little more experience with it, our sex life has become volcanic. The man who once told me he doesn't do the brownie hole now cuddles up to me in bed and breathes in my ear about how he has missed having me in his ass. I was sick for a few days that week, and that he ached for me. Call it an obsession, call it a fetish, call it a healthy, open-minded view about sex, call it perverted, I don't give a shit. All I know is that when I have my tongue buried in my man's ass and I feel him grab it, I can have a deep vaginal orgasm without anything near my pussy. I usually don't get very wet as a general rule. I never did have much natural lubricant, but when I eat his ass or fuck it with a toy, I get totally soaking wet. Nothing has ever excited me more. So one day I stumble upon your site to read about a woman who enjoys pegging as much as I do. I just had to stop a moment and say hello and thank you. I'll be 47 next month, and I've already asked for my birthday present from my husband. I told him I want the I Want It All subscription. As the icing on the cake, your stories are well written with perfect detailed descriptions. It's getting harder and harder to find good reading material. I am so very much looking forward to a year's worth. Oh my goodness, C, thank you so much for writing in. And first of all, I want to hold your letter and your attitude and your love of male asses and pegging up there as an example for the guys. Yes, there are women out there like this. Yes, we do exist. Not nearly enough, in my opinion, and certainly not nearly enough to satisfy all you guys who really are looking for us, but we are out there. And we do love the male ass. I could so relate, see, because when I'm playing with a guy's ass, oh my gosh, I get so wet. It's just amazing. And nothing is touching my pussy at all. Nothing is touching my clit, but I'm just playing with him and I'm so wet. That's when I really knew I was on the right track. I mean, I always fantasized about it and I would masturbate to the fantasies of it. But when I actually did it and I was just soaking wet, yeah. This is a good sign. We're on the right track here. I also want to mention how much time you took. How much time? I mean, we just finished a letter of me talking about having patience. And yeah, 2 to 3 years you had converting him. And I'm quite sure that all of his other wonderful qualities as a partner made it a whole lot easier to hang in there and take the time you needed, and he needed, apparently, more importantly, to get him to allow this and to open up his body and to be okay with you playing there. And I swear to God, your description of him cuddling up and breathing in your ear and saying how much he missed you in his ass. Ooh, I have been there. That was really quite exciting to read. Quite exciting to read. I love that. I love hearing that. Way back when, old boyfriend described his ass as willing and wanting. That was one of the first times I heard something along those lines, and yeah, very, very exciting. So I am really happy that you found my website too, and happy to have you along for the ride. I'm glad you enjoy my writing. I enjoy writing it for you all. And feel free to write in and give us some good detailed stories once in a while yourself if you feel so inclined. You write well. The letter that you wrote me was well written, so welcome. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about I just finished some classes in Ventura. And you guys know that I went to Denver, and I already spoke a little bit about how Denver classes were a little remarkable because they had a lot of audience interaction. Same thing happened in Ventura, and it was pretty amazing. And I kind of have sat back and wondered why that is. Now, as any educator, my teaching changes a little bit as I learn different things and I change my ideas of what's important and figure out what works and what doesn't, and also as my interests change. And one of the things I've been very, very interested in recently and really diving down deep into is the male emotional response and the vulnerability. And it's always been my hook. It's always been what I really love about this. And I not just broach the subject, but I talk about it a lot in both of those classes in Denver and Ventura. And both times I had men come up to me afterwards and thank me for going there. In Denver, the man said, "I thought this might just be another class of, equipment and positions and lube and stuff." And he said, "Thank you so much for talking about the emotional part of it." And that's exactly, almost for word, what I got from a young man at the class in Ventura. The other thing that was similar was, even though it was a much smaller class in Ventura, there was remarkable audience participation. And it seems as if a couple of things. This is what I think is happening. When you broach that emotional subject and you talk about that and not only talk about what it's like in connection with the pegging, but how society has an effect on all men, about how society kind of emotionally hobbles men and expects them to be very strong all the time, never show any kind of weakness or vulnerability, which unfortunately are all too often put right together in people's minds. It gives men an opportunity to start talking about this, and it's really remarkable. One young man who was there said, "Even if you were cuddling, After sex, I've made love to a woman, we're cuddling after sex, and I choose to put my head on her chest while we're cuddling instead of the other way around. I choose to cuddle up and be the one cuddled as opposed to the holder, right? It, you know, most men, if they choose to do that, well, it'll be going through their head, is this okay? Is she going to think I'm weak? Is this, you know? And just that statement is just such a sad thing, that that imbalance is always there, and that's something that men are always on the guard of, because really, truly, in bed and having sex and sharing our bodies together is a place where ideally all of those boundaries come down, but there's so much social indoctrination about men never, ever, ever appearing weak or vulnerable that it works against us in bed. It really, really does. So anyway, I wanted to mention that because as many of you know, and has been up on my website, I've been talking about it a lot. I'm going to be doing the Ask Panel at Catalyst Con West this weekend in Woodland Hills. And that is one of the subjects that we are definitely going to broach. I think it's going to be a great panel. I'm quite sure it's going to be an amazing weekend. I hope at least some of you listeners are going to head on down there and check it out, because it's the most amazing offering of sexual topics that I have ever seen, truly. If you look through the schedule and read it, there are so many things there that I can't imagine the type of person, well, that's not true. I was going to say I can't imagine the type of person that wouldn't find something they were interested in. Of course I can. That person is conservative, doesn't talk about sex, goes to church all the time, never shows their body, and, you know, I don't know, has sex with a hole in the sheet. I don't know. There's people out there like that, but obviously, everybody coming to this conference, especially the presenters, were very comfortable talking about sex. And I think that is part of the charm for me. I love being around people who have an ease talking about sex. And there's a lot of talk about relationships in these sessions as well. So do come take a look. It's not too late to get in. And I think they have an option of just registering for one day as well. So, and again, I'm going to be there. Come and find me. Ask me for a hug. Free hugs. Find me. I hope to see some of you down there. There's also a bunch of stuff going on. Last night was Body Storytelling down in Los Angeles. And on Saturday night of Catalyst Con, they're having Body Storytelling, which I will absolutely be on that one unless I find a hot date between now and then and retire to my hotel room. And Dixie is teaching a fearless storytelling seminar. It's she will teach you how to tell stories. And that is being offered. I believe it's down in the hotel as well. And it's on Sunday afternoon. And you can find that by going to Body Storytelling. .com, B-A-W-D-Y, okay? And I will put that on the Linkorama for her classes, because she's got it down. This woman knows what makes a good story, and she works with the people who tell the curated stories every time we do body storytelling. And the curated means is that she's got people of some notoriety who are up there telling stories that most of us know or at least have heard of, including Nina Hartley one time, twice actually, and she works with them to help them tell their own stories. Dixie knows more about good storytelling than just about anybody I know. And of course, you know, she should. She started Body Storytelling up in San Francisco, and she's taken it to LA, and she's done a couple, I think, in New York, and she's trying to spread it all over the place. I would love to see that happen, because the more towns and cities that there are that have these amazing once-a-month, total X-rated tell your sex stories thing, the better. I think that that is an awesome way of making us all a little bit more comfortable with this kind of talk and having it be really okay. Because all these stories that you hear are true. This is not let's make up an erotic story. It's not like me writing my stories. It's this happened to me and check this out. So the realness and the vulnerability and the amazing sharing of the things that people have been through and are willing to tell you up on that stage will blow your mind. So yeah, she has a seminar to teach you how to tell stories. And that's going to be on Sunday. I'll put the link there. And let's see, what else? Oh, I want to thank people for calling in and using my question line. It's been getting a bit of action. I don't have anything for you this month. And it's funny because it's like, okay, I got a question line. Yeah, I will be using those calls and playing them for you, just like on the Dan Savage podcast. I know how to do that. I have the technology. Just that the first ones I received, one was a please don't play this, and the other one was just, you know, a ploy to meet me, basically. So I wasn't going to give him the gratification of playing that online. But I have to tell you guys, I did, you know, I have spoken before, and you have read the stories of my connection with the guy, Zach. He called me and said hello. He called me on my line. I couldn't believe it. He and I have never talked. And he just left a message that said, so Ruby, here's my question. What would you do if you knew who I was? I hope you have a good night, ma'am. That's all he said. It took me 3 plays through it to realize who it was. The little shit. And it was a thrill. It was exciting to hear his voice. It was fun. But in relaying this to you, I am not encouraging you guys to call up and leave me fun messages. It really is a question line. Zach gets a pass because he and I write stories together and have all kinds of amazing sexual erotic fantasies together, which make for good stories. But please don't use the line as an excuse to meet me. Call up with any questions, though. Stories, anything. You know, actually, if I think about it, I would have to say, call up and say anything you want, and if I want to use it, I will, and if I don't, I'll delete it. That might be a much more entertaining way to deal with all this, you know? And I'm thinking out loud, but I think that I'm just going to switch it around. Call up and say what you like, and I'll use it if I want, and if I don't, I'll delete it. There you have it. That, I think, might be more exciting, and that way I'm not the policeman, and that is much more open and allowing as opposed to constricted and defensive. Okay, cool. I worked through that one all on my own and on my podcast, no less. Okay. Speaking of that question line, it's 805-500-6544. 805-500-6544. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook page and a profile. Give me a thumbs up. Been getting a lot of those lately. I'm like up to 600 and something now, which thrills me. You can subscribe to my blog, which has sexy pictures and little postings that never will show up in my podcast, so you might want to check on that. My podcast is available on iTunes, and it can also be listened to directly from my blog at peggingparadise.com. If you download it through iTunes, it would be awesome if you could rate my podcast or write me a cool review. And if you don't want to use the call-in, please send questions or stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com. And we're kind of overdue for a pegging celebration time because I really want to play that music. I get up and dance every time I do that. So, you know, I want to get up and dance, you guys. Send me some pegging celebration stories. Thank you. Thank you for downloading and listening. And thank you for joining me once again in my quest of changing the world one ass at a time. Even if all you're doing is listening to this podcast, you are doing your part. Happy pegging, everybody.